get started. I'm Greg Johnson from Ellers. We've been working with the village on the amendment for tax appeal district number one. The village kind of asked me to facilitate the discussion until such time that you get a chairperson appointed, and then I'll gladly turn over the reins to that lucky individual. But we're here to convene the initial meeting of the Joint Review Board for the Village of Alloway. Really, the first item of business is consideration and appointment of the village's recommended public member that they put forth to be the citizen member and representative on the Joint Review Board. So, Trevor, do you want to just introduce Jim? Or?
This is Jim Genrich. He's been a resident of Alloway for some years now. He's been on the Village Board and on the Planning Commission. And is
public
what's your
committee.
Yes, Public Works Committee, and what's your official title with McCormick Home, Jim?
Administrator.
Yeah.
I prefer Supreme Commander, but as administrator, I'll have to do.
Yeah. So Jim's familiar with the concept of tax increment district.
So does someone want to make a motion to accept Jim's?
I'll move the appointment of Jim Genrich as the public member.
Second.
All those in favor of Jim as the public member, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay.
Can you go around and just introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. Greg Johnson from Ellers.
Andrew Sarno, Chief Financial Officer with the Green Berry Schools.
I'm Jim Rafter, trustee here in Alloway.
Bob Matthews, CFO at NWTC.
Brad Lang, Village Administrator.
Dave Coles, property owner on Riverside Drive.
Trevor Fuller, City Planner.
Jim Genrich, your newly appointed Joint Review Board public member, I guess.
President.
Chuck Lamine, I'm Brock Lamine, Planner Director.
Thanks. Well, your next item is to elect a chairperson. Any one of you can serve in that role. Really, the main responsibility is just to kind of facilitate the meetings and the discussion from here on out. But if there's any questions on that role, we have to answer it. Otherwise, you can nominate someone to serve in that capacity.
Has anybody here previously done that?
Trevor and I are not members, so we're...
Like rats from a sinking ship.
Tradition is to have the hosting village, so I don't know if you're comfortable chairing.
Sure.
I'm not trying to get out of it, but I think it would make sense to have a sitting trustee in that role who certainly can relate to what's going on here. Well,
see, right away I got myself out of that position.
Good move. Second. I'll second that motion.
So there's a motion and a second for Jim Rafter to be the chair of the Joint Review Board. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? I will gladly hand it over to you if you want to continue on the agenda.
Okay. So, item number four is this. Discuss responsibilities of the Joint Review Board.
I gave you all a handout that just kind of provides a very brief summary of the responsibilities of the Joint Review Board. This board is responsibilities are identified in Wisconsin statutes, in particular within the TIF statutes. And it's really the main responsibility of this board to kind of oversee the entire TIF creation process as it goes forward. Just to kind of explain what the process is. This is the first step in the process, the convening of this group. And again, your purpose tonight is primarily organizational in nature to elect your chairperson, identify your public member, and then we'll provide a brief overview of the project plan amendment. And that's really your role at this point in time. There's a public hearing before the Plan Commission this evening at 6 o'clock, which is required by statutes. So that will be an opportunity for the public to provide comments or any testimony about the proposed amendment. Next, if it receives approval from the Plan Commission, the amendment will be forwarded to the Village Board for their consideration. So the Village Board will act on that separately in a few weeks. And if it goes through the Village Board for approval, it comes back to this body as the Joint Review Board, and you have the final say and determination as far as whether or not that amendment goes forward or not. So your responsibilities are kind of a continuation of what previous joint review boards have done here in Alloway. When the TID was created back in 2011, it was a rehabilitation TID district, which was set up to really try to promote economic development, and in particular redevelopment opportunities along Webster Avenue and Riverside Drive in particular. So the district has been in place in 2011. At that time, the Joint Review Board found that really but for the use of TIF, economic redevelopment or new development proposals on some vacant land within the TIF boundaries was likely not to occur or may not occur within the same time frame or at the same values that the village might see absent the use of TIF district. And so through this amendment, that similar criteria will be applied going forward. So that's kind of a broad overview of the TIF process and the Joint Review Board role. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Basically, what we do is we go through all of this, understand the plan, understand the amendment. We don't make a recommendation to the Planning Commission?
No, not at this time, you don't. You'll review all the, as the process unfolds and various documentation gets prepared, minutes from today's meeting, minutes will be prepared from the public hearing tonight. All that will be provided to you as the official record of the TIF amendment process to review, and then ultimately, yes, you make the final determination at that final meeting, which will talk about scheduling this evening. So that's really the end of the process, is where your decision is made.
So this board basically meets twice?
Correct.
Who's taking minutes tonight? Should we move on to the next agenda item?
I'm ready.
Let's move on to the next agenda item. Review and discuss the project plan amendment.
So you have a copy of the project plan. I know several of you may have seen this. It was distributed a few weeks back. There haven't been any changes in the draft that I handed out this evening. This is the document that's required to be prepared under the TID statutes to either create a TIF district or an amended TIF district to provide the necessary summary of findings that are identified within the TID statutes. As I mentioned, this is an amendment to TID District Number 1. The primary purpose of the amendment is to expand the territory and the boundaries of the TIF district. The village has identified some particular properties on Riverside Drive and South Webster Avenue and Webster Heights Drive that they wanted to add into the boundaries of the TIF district. I gave a little bit of the background of when the district was created in 2011, but just a little more for your information. The village had about a year's worth of discussion when they were going through the process of creating the TIF district. At that time, there was the initial target was looking at trying to enhance development opportunities at the old Village Hall site. But in discussions over the course of that year, there was discussions with the Plan Commission, the Village Board, and representatives from the local business community about whether or not it was appropriate to really have a small TIF district that really focused primarily on the old Village Hall site, or whether or not it was more advantageous to kind of focus on a broader effort to promote redevelopment within two of the village's main corridors. And at that time, it was decided that by those groups collectively that a larger TID district was really more advantageous to the village to try to promote economic development and redevelopment on a broader basis. So the initial boundaries were defined just to try to capture those areas at the time that were thought to have the most development potential and really focus on the TIP as part of an overall corridor. And since that time, the village has undertaken some studies for corridor planning along Riverside Drive and to some extent Webster as well. So that's kind of where the village has taken the TIF and the planning since the district was initially created. So as some additional development opportunities have come forward, the village has identified some additional properties that are adjacent to the boundaries that they wanted to add within the proposed boundary of the district. The other change that the district is putting forth in this amendment is adjusting some of the project costs that were identified in the original project plan when the TIB was created in 2011. And the only real change that they've made is that they've just increased the allowance for development incentives. Not that that obligates the village to award additional development incentives, it just with the advent of additional properties being added into the district, it thought that having some additional flexibility for development incentives was appropriate if those additional parcels were added. The bulk of the plan identified a lot of infrastructure costs, streets, stormwater, water, and sewer costs within those two corridors that over the long-term implementation of the TIF plan would be TID-eligible expenses. And the village is retaining still all of those projects that were identified in the original plan in this amendment. Those aren't changing. And while the village has moved forward with some infrastructure improvements in their broad CIP, as development occurs within the TID and some of those additional projects, if those are implemented, some of those costs still may be charged back to the TID district. But the village evaluates that as increment is available, so it's sure that if any infrastructure cost is charged to the district, there's sufficient increment to cover it. I think the two main initiatives that the village has implemented since the TID was created was they created a formal incentive policy, which kind of identifies the policy and preference and the process that applicants can use if they want to apply for some form of a development incentive. And then there's also a kind of a facade rehabilitation program put in place as well that businesses can apply to get TIF funds to improve their properties. Trevor or Brad, have I missed anything as far as kind of specific initiatives or progress to date since the TIF was created?
I think you did a very good job in covering everything, and why we're here is, like Greg said, we commissioned this corridor study that came to an end in June, and in the corridor study it highlighted specific areas that could be seen as advantageous to redevelop, some being the Webster-St. Joseph intersection. Could be an ideal place for a downtown, and in other areas on Riverside Drive and Alloway and Riverside Drive and St. Joseph could be ideal for additional development beyond what it's currently being used as. In talking with the property owners, it does not seem like it does seem like they are interested and willing, but it does not seem like in the current state that anything will likely happen.
And that's the proposed area may be more desirable and or lend itself to development if it's added to the TID.
Correct.
So what specifically are we adding to it?
For properties? Go to page 9. That's the corner of Alloway Avenue and Riverside Drive. Okay. So you would have the Mariner Hotel, Shank Building, Twigs.
Mm-hmm. And then that small parcel is a parcel that was recently demolished. It did have an old white house on there.
Okay. The old grave or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The little north corner chunk.
Correct.
Yeah. And the rest of that property and that little piece are owned by Somerville?
That little piece and the property to
Fox.
It? Yes. To the north? Correct. Yep.
And that's adjacent to the Somerville building there? Right?
Correct. Okay.
This little step out there on the riverside, is there something that's existing there? Looks like there's a little shoreline or something like that.
That is a deck or a pier here.
Just on the other side of that.
The white
yep, right there.
Up
yeah,
here?
Notch
yeah.
out.
That is, I believe that's Brown County land.
Oh.
For the
steel trail. Yeah.
And then page 10, you'd have the old Brennan Buick site, which is on the corner of St. Joseph and Riverside Drive.
So the used car
lot? Yep, used car lot. The on the corner of Webster and St. Joseph is U.S. Bank.
Correct.
And then to the north is the currently is the pool house of the Webster Heights condominium development.
Is there a thought that they would be selling that? Or because you wouldn't need this if they're just going to continue it as business as usual, right?
Correct. That was a scenario that was identified in the quarter study.
Oh, okay.
That could be developed into some additional mixed use.
U.S. Bank.
Well, I remember, yeah. And right across Webster with the hash marks.
That's U.S. Bank.
Is that probably...
I'm sorry, that's the old Brennan Buick.
Oh, that's Brennan. Oh, yeah, Riverside Drive, yeah.
So it's really just the blue lines that we're looking at.
It used to be...
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, never mind. So what is red... What's red here, it's currently in the TIF?
No.
It's not.
What's in that kind of the black boundary is kind of the current boundary of the TIF, so that this parcel here is within
the TIF. That's the website, that's condominium.
Oh, okay. Normal commercial.
Yes.
And that's the old diocesan property?
Correct.
Okay.
One of the criteria, since this is a rehabilitation TIF district, one of the findings that has to be documented within both the original TIF district plan from 2011 and any proposed amendment is not more than 25% of the area within the TID is considered vacant. And for purposes of the TID statute, vacant land is any parcel that has a land improvement land value that is greater than the improvement value. And I'm looking at the assessed value breakdown between land and improvements. And so, you know, we've kind of talked about looking at adding some other territory in the TIF district as well. But we would have, you know, from the parcels that were in the original district and then was proposing to be amended, we were starting to exceed that 25% limit. So that's part of that was one of the factors taken into consideration.
So what changed between 2011 and now that you're wanting to add this? Were they not available at the time, or what changed?
I think what, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, mm-hmm. I think what changed is that just as time has gone on and as kind of the economy has started to recover, I think there's just been some broader interest in some of these parcels, and more so than it was thought, you know, back in 2011.
The U.S. banks and the Shanks and all the other blue squares come to the village. How are they selected?
There were some property owners that came forward. It was more of the public process that we commissioned Grafe, the engineering firm that did the corridor study for us. It was identified in those open houses that these areas would be ideal for redevelopment. Some of the property owners have been contacted, and some things have been discussed. Nothing intact, though.
I'm just curious why that wasn't done in 2011, though. I mean, it would have completed certain areas. I mean, the original TIF would have had to have sectioned off. I mean, that's my question, is why wouldn't it have just happened at that point in time? What changed? Is it do they want to get out? Do they want to move? Are they trying to find buyers for those properties, or...
There's at least some perceived market demand, right? I mean, you've got an oil company looking at this spot down here on Riverside and St. Joe's. U.S. Bank, I don't know what their interest is. I'm assuming they're going to stay put, but that is your perceived big corner.
Correct.
Correct.
And then the pool building, as you said in the plan, there was some suggestion. I can't remember what it was, but I remember it was talked about in there.
So it looks like you can just sell a parcel in its entirety if you fill these holes in, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I mean, you can sell this whole parcel if you fill in some of the missing gaps from the original TIF. Is that?
Yeah, I think that'd be ideal.
Right. Okay.
On the incentives,
how much it looks like it was looking at the original plan, it looked like it was $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
What's being proposed for the budget or for the
$1.5 million.
So there are identified candidates for these projects. I mean, does this allow the village to go forward and get these properties developed? Is there a fairly clear line of sight in terms of what will happen with this property? It's not a bad thing. It's just a question.
I think the one on Riverside Drive, the village is pushing and trying to help develop that,
right,
because that was part of our corridor study.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of excitement, mm-hmm, along the route from the corridor study.
Sure.
So I do think there's probably, I don't know if there's defined interest, but I know from the public meetings and other developers that were there,
right,
there seemed to be. Was Brenham Buick still there in 2011?
I don't think
so. That was real close. I think they were gone already.
Yeah, so they may have just put that up for sale. Right. But I know there's someone interested in that.
Is there interest here, this whole parcel?
No, because this is the diocesan property.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at this point in time, they don't intend to move. I don't think.
All right. They might have.
We can talk to them. Oh, this is diocesan property? Green Bay Diocese? Oh, it's a Catholic church.
Gotcha. Okay. For your incentives, would you typically have like a developer's agreement in place with some standards or commitments as to performance before you would release funds, or a mechanism to recover the funds if they don't perform, or whatever it might be, tax-based investment, job creation, whatever it might be?
Correct.
But that would be the approach that the village would be taking.
Correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thanks.
And have we had any development yet in the original TID? We've had facade improvements.
And then the one?
Sunrise nursing homes.
Right here. Okay.
Right up the road.
Okay.
And then the HME, I guess that's not new development, but it
was in the original TID, though.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the valuation probably went up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One other thing about this, during the corridor study, they came up with proposals on how the diocese could use this land, mm-hmm, for economic development.
Mm-hmm.
So I think bringing these in kind of completes that whole picture that they created.
Okay.
There's been about $12.3 million in new taxable value, increment value, generated in the TID since 2011. So that was constructed in 2013, so there was a kind of a good kickoff to the increment value within the TID. Yeah.
This box on page 10, that was what Quick Trip was interested in, or something like that, with a arm coming out to St. Joe's as well here, right?
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay. Did they ever redraw that, or when the
no.
thing fell through, then it's just that? Okay. But that would not be part of the TID, or this TID amendment.
Right, because that's already currently part, but that's already currently in the TID, yeah.
Okay.
So when the TID was discussed to be created, I think the village had strong direction, both from the village board and staff as well, that they would carefully kind of monitor TID expenditures, and while certain things were TID eligible as defined in the project plan, TID funding decisions were going to be largely driven by the amount of increment that's been generated. And I think that's the village has held true to that since the TID was created, by really kind of focusing initial initiatives on the facade rehabilitation program, but some of those initial TIF funds that have been created. So there's been no, since the TIF was created, there's been no debt service that the village has incurred that they're charging to the TIF district. So, presently the TID is cash flowing as additional decisions come forth for either development incentives or projects. The village has been evaluating the cash flow to, make decisions based on what the TIF can actually support. So while the plan gives them some broad authority to undertake a lot of projects, they've been managing that diligently to make sure that the increment is sufficient to pay for it.
Where did the $12.5 million of value come from? The $12.6 million?
Probably a lot of that was some of the projects you just summarized,
okay,
Trevor.
Okay.
Yeah.
doing it. Any specific questions anyone had on anything you saw in the project plan? Anything you'd like me to go
into? The only other question I'd ask is, what is the level of investment required to kind of get the properties where they need to be developed? Is there a lot of front-end cash to kind of prep the properties for sale? So obviously there's money to spend to prepare the properties. Is there a fairly significant investment up front, or is that the $4 million that you talked about? I don't know. There's a 2018 bond.
Yeah, I mean the cash flow that's on page 28 of the project plan is kind of an actual summary of what's taken place since the TID was created, and then some projections going forward. The original TID district kind of identified, three primary development areas that were summarized in the project plan. And, if development occurs within that area, kind of based on the development assumptions that were in the plan and summarized on page 26, it shows that the, about $4.1 million of infrastructure investment could be supported. But again, I think the village has been kind of monitors those infrastructure expenditures and what's charged to the TID based on either actual development that's occurred or, as projects come forward, look at what could be supported from that likely increment stream. So this is illustrative of what could occur based on the development assumptions, but
sure.
that gets closely monitored before those funding commitments are made to the TID.
So this amendment would stick to the current calendar of the original TIF?
Correct. It doesn't change the type of the TIF district. It doesn't change the life of the TIF district. It just adds some additional properties and increases that development incentive amount by $500,000. That's it. Everything else from the original TIF remains intact.
And inclusion would make the properties more saleable. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we do have a current owner right here. So that would help with that. I mean, perception-wise.
And for development purposes, too.
Yes.
Which is kind of why we bought this property in the first place. And when I came to these guys, I was pretty confused why our property wasn't put in originally. So I was not told of anything that went on in 2011. I had no idea this was even in place until then. They started talking, and they said, well, the TIF district ends basically at your property. And if they would have included those couple of properties, then you're into residential. So I have no idea why it wasn't included in the first place. But we are definitely looking to develop the property.
And I could only guess, looking back there, that since it was already developed and a lot of the other stuff was either not developed or vacant like the car lot. I don't know. I don't remember what.
Some of it could have been at the tail end of the Great Recession.
I don't have a direct answer to that. I mean, I think it's the boundary, the line had to be drawn somewhere, and I think
sure.
they just kind of took into account what they knew at the time in terms of where. And that's, I realize that's not a direct answer, but it's an honest one in terms
of
what,
moot point now, but
what transpired.
Well, the good news is it allows for this, to add on to it if that's why we're here, I guess.
And part of it, too, was the fact that there was that discussion on should the TIF be like a four-parcel TIF or should it be a much broader TIF. So we need to get from that discussion to where we were. There was kind of back and forth between whether it should be one or the other. So I think as it got broader, at some point, everyone said let's try to keep it somewhat defined. And those were the boundaries that they decided to kind of draw the line at that point in time. I know, Jim, I think you were part of that, those discussions. If I misstated anything, please.
No, I think that's what it was.
So as the Joint Review Board, our responsibility is to ultimately approve whatever comes forward to us. And based on What criteria?
Really, I think the criteria that you're, it's the same as the criteria that is used when you create a TIF district. It's really, but for the use of tax incremental financing, you know, these properties may not, you know, develop either at all. They may not develop within the same time frame. The TIF may accelerate that development and may, you know, enhance the value and the taxable value of the property, essentially, but for the use of TIF. And you're going to get more better quality development on that property than if you left it out and just left it, you know, exclusively to just market forces outside of the TIF.
And I think the properties that we're looking at, that probably holds true.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a safe assumption that incentives will help develop this property.
And I think the corridor study that's been referenced several times too shows that there's, you know, there's been a fair amount of study by the village put into this to come to this point.
Are there any other questions?
Is there indeed a public hearing tonight?
Yes.
And then the Plan Commission?
At the Plan Commission.
Okay.
That's at 6 o'clock?
Correct.
What is the expectation in terms of kind of the village response, public response? Is this contentious?
I don't think so.
There's a tremendous amount of excitement.
Yeah.
I think in all the public meetings that we've had, people have come, we've had hundreds of people come through, and I didn't expect that, but it was, I think there's a great deal of excitement.
Great.
The timing is really important right now because we just got done doing that corridor study.
Right.
And just giving that next, instead of having a roadblock now, it's going to give us the opportunities to.
Well, it's a great property. I mean, it's. Yeah. It's high traffic, high volume property, so.
Logical extension of what you have already. It seems well thought out. Are there any concerns?
No.
No?
Nothing that is.
I think the timing is good because of the Highway 57 project, too, which kind of got everything rolling, right?
Right.
Are there hard copies of the corridor study? Or I guess I'll turn it to be online.
Well, it's not been officially adopted yet.
Okay.
It's going through the various committees for any additional input, and then it will be incorporated into the comprehensive plan through a public hearing, and then eventually adopted by the board. So we're about a month and a half out to finally getting it adopted.
So I have to excuse, I've been out of town for about 3 years, so. What's the Highway 57? Is that the bridge?
From De Pere to the Green Bay limits is going to be reconstructed.
Riverside Drive.
Riverside Drive.
Really?
Yeah. Complete reconstruction.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Forgive me. Any red flags on your end? Any concerns at all?
No.
No? Yeah. Those are four.
So I think the only red flag we encountered was making sure we didn't exceed that 25% vacant land test, which was kind of all vetted before we got to this point. So other than that, it's a fairly straightforward amendment under the TID statutes.
So how long is the Riverside reconstruction going to take? Is that like a 2 or 3 year project?
2 year project.
Once it gets started.
Be a 2 year project. Well, no, it'll be over a course of 3. Because they'll do water and sewer 1 year. They'll come in and they'll do half the road from either the bridge, 172 south or north, and then do the second phase the next year. So it'll be about a 3 year process.
Perceived construction to start?
Well, now they're talking about potentially being a little bit delayed. So whether or not anything will happen in 2017 is yet to be determined.
But nothing next year.
Nothing next year.
16
was not in the plan at the beginning. So
does the development sit until that's done?
The developments can take place. It's just a matter of making sure that the defined new right of way is
right.
Yeah. And that's what they'll be working on.
I mean, it does propose a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I'm going to invest a lot of money in something and have it sit there for 3 years, I don't know that I'm going to make that investment right away, personally, but there are probably other people that might think about it differently. So.
Mm-hmm. And I know that was one of the questions at one of the public meetings that we had with the DOT is, do we want to keep the road open? And absolutely.
Right.
Even if it delays the project somewhat,
right.
You have to keep it open so the businesses can continue to thrive.
Exactly. Okay.
This is the final design. There's no final design yet. They're still working on.
I can only assume there are going to be a few roundabouts.
Zero.
Zero? Seriously?
Zero roundabouts.
Wow. That's amazing. How'd you do that?
A couple of streetlights.
Just hold the speed limit to 15.
No.
We said sort of push too many people to Webster if we did roundabouts.
Yep.
We'll put some more up there then.
Pardon?
We'll put some more up there.
And push them down the libel.
Let's keep on going. Yeah.
Keep on going until you get to the river.
That's right.
And you have a choice. You can learn how to drive through them.
Ms. Dart?
Mind if I join? Is it closed? Is this like a private meeting?
No. Secret ad hoc committee? No.
Open records? You're good.
Okay. I guess one of the other things that Trevor and I have been kicking around a little bit too is just for an FYI to you is looking at the potential of doing some RFPs for developments to try to do some more encouragement. So that's something that the Economic Development Committee will be talking a little bit about in this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And one site being like our old Village Hall.
Mm-hmm. The Village did just pass an ordinance allowing brew pubs.
Yeah, could have got leatherheads, but I guess they're going over Marty's Boston Crab.
Anything else? No? I guess we have to set the next meeting date.
That's already done.
We can. It's probably preferable while we're all here. The TIT statutes kind of provide a window of time upon which the Joint Review Board needs to act once the Village Board acts on the TIT plan. And that window of time is anywhere between September 28th and October 14th. So you can meet, you can convene at any time of day. It doesn't have to be afternoons or evenings. It can, but you can also meet during the day if that's suits your schedule.
28th through October 14th.
Which Village Board meeting do we expect it to?
It is going to be on the September 15th Village Board meeting.
Yeah, just happened the other day. Never broken a phone.
Well, I just threw out a range. September 28th through October 14th is statutorily the window we have to look at.
And once it comes out of the Village Board, there's really no work for us to do except to get the recommendation. Do we have homework in between those 2 days?
If there's any changes to the project plan, those will be sent to you as soon as the Village Board. If there's any changes made, either based on comments this evening or comments from the Village Board, we'll send out updates to the project plan. If there's any changes, it's just reviewing the documentation, and then we'll send copies of the minutes and the resolutions that were adopted by the Plan Commission and the Village Board, so you can review those as well.
Okay. If there are recommended changes after the Planning Commission meeting, will we be notified or will it go to...
Sure. Yeah, we can send out kind of a summary of what, if there's any proposed changes. Okay.
Does Monday night work for everyone at 5 o'clock?
Depends on the Monday for me. Every other Monday at the board meeting.
Would the Monday after the 15th work?
We need to look between September 28th and October 15th.
Would the following Monday work then?
October 5th.
October 5th?
We do it at 5:30.
So, where's October 5th at 5:30 work for everyone?
I'll be early.
5:30 it is.
Here. Yes.
Yep. Okay, is there anything else before we adjourn? Do I hear a motion to adjourn our meeting?
I'll move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us and helping us through this process.